QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours and a minute. Local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Okay, I have one announcement. We will be doing our final testing for hams this Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. That's this Sunday coming up, December 18th, 1 p.m. at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. And I am still looking for some volunteer examiners to fill that. We have two people coming in to test for technicians. So if you're on my VE team and you're available, please send me an email. Question? Go ahead, question.
Tom, KI6IQA, you said final testing. Are you no longer going to be testing, or is that the final testing for 2011?
I'm sorry, I meant to say final testing, last test for this year. We have a whole schedule next year already set up with the fire department. It's on their calendar once again the last Sunday of every month for 2012. So, sorry, Kelly. I missed up.
Okay, good. KI6IQA.
Alrighty, topic for this evening, we're going to kick around, run up the flagpole, the 10-meter contest that was this past weekend. 10-meter is kind of a cool contest, reason being, part of that band is wide open to tech class. People with technician-only class can actually get in this tournament, or contest. Pretty neat. We got a couple people out there that did their thing. It's a whole lot of fun, and looking forward to talking about that. So, all righty. Well, I'll call roster of our usual check-ins here and proceed. First on the list, WB6CLZ. Mike, are you out there?
We certainly are, Tom. Getting excited just talking about the 10-meter contest. It was a lot of fun. Okay, back to you, Tom.
Okay, one of these days I know you're going to come back and tell me, no, I'm not here, Tom. But I know you're not that kind of guy. How about WB6CIN right next to you, Cindy?
This is WB6CIN. I'm thinking back in my mind, the 10-meter contest was so much fun. It was just, and this is all reminding me of it. Looking forward to tonight.
Okay, roger that, Cindy. Appreciate it. How about KA6CIA, George in Lucerne Valley? And nothing heard there, and I know that Harry and Nancy are off the hill. We're going to move on down to KI6SKN, Chris. And nothing heard, how about KJ6HZS, Mike? Yeah, nothing heard there, how about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
Good evening, Mike and Redlands. Thanks for being out there. How about KJ6KDL Jim? Sugarloaf.
KJ6KDL, mobiling back from a late day of work in Big Bear Lake, hoping to get to Sugarloaf soon.
Okay, Jim, appreciate that. I imagine KJ6KDK is out there also.
Roger that. KJ6KDK here in Sugarloaf.
Okay, appreciate that, Rosemary. All right, how about W6GZI, Frank? Nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly, you still out there?
So far out there, you'd never know. KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly, hope stay warm over there. It's supposed to be pretty cold tonight. How about K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley? Yeah, I haven't heard. Everybody's probably trying to stay warm by the fire. 86PL, Harold?
Give me 86PL.
Okay, Harold, stay warm out there. How about N6BOP, Ann in Pomona? Nothing heard. How about K6LCS Quint, Harupa Valley? I think he's on his Christmas sabbatical there. How about W6JLM? Now, I don't think they're up here yet, but we'll give her a try. And nothing heard. How about K6YNW Chris?
Good evening to you in the net, K6YNW.
Hey, Chris, glad you're out there this evening. How about W6POO Chip?
Good evening, Chris, and Tom in the net. And Chris, hi there. W6POO here, and staying warm here in Palm Springs. W6POO cleared.
It's definitely got to be warmer down there than it is here. Alrighty. How about KD6LAN Bill in Boulder Bay?
Yeah, we're out here listening. We're keeping tabs on you. KD6LAN.
Okay, Bill, thanks for being out there. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and the group. Victor, AE6K, and I wonder how much snow did we get last night?
Well, Victor, the official weather report here in Sugarloaf from me, as official as that could be, we got 2 inches here, and I think Bill said he got close to 6 inches in Boulder Bay, thereabouts. So, yeah, just 2 inches here. So somewhere in between there, you're in Bear City. You're probably in the middle of that. So anyway, all right, good deal. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
All right, Rod, glad to have you out there. Is KB6LTY out there? Christy? Nothing heard. How about AE6TV, Hans? Yeah, nothing heard. That pretty much is our list of regulars. Anybody else would like to check in as a guest this evening, please come back to KF6Q.
KE6FQC listening.
Glenda and Tom.
Okay, Steve, got you out there. Thanks. Appreciate that. Our guest speaker for the evening, KE6FQZ. Had somebody else in there also. Please come back. Didn't get the call sign.
Yeah.
Okay, you're dropping out there. Could be a battery issue. We'll move ahead here. Anyway, let's see. Starting out this evening, Mike, real quick and simple. Kind of sunspot activity we got out there. What do we have for a DX going?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, real quick, the station that was just checking in, check your PL because it could be a PL issue. Okay, yeah, space weather. Tom is reporting a sunspot number of 70, and a solar flux index of 132 solar flux units. And not bad conditions. 10 meters was hopping a little bit today, but nothing spectacular. We need to get a little more sunspot activity, although solar flux index is up high enough to where, you know, it's still okay, just not as superb as it was. A lot going on last weekend, though, and I guess we're going to talk about that. I don't have anything really to report as far as personal DX. Just been busy. Haven't had much time to get into it, so hopefully someone else has something better to report. Hey, back to you, Tom. This is WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, thanks. Appreciate that. And this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday on the Big BR Amateur Radio Club repeater. Anybody else out there with any DX besides the contest? The contest is our topic for the evening, but any other DX to report, please come back. All right, well, hearing none out there. Mike, I'm going to hand it over to Steve first. And I know Steve, KE6FQC, I know you're involved with the contest, and just give us a real quick rundown on what you're doing out there, and we'll kind of work with that a little bit, and then we'll go to some of the other people after that. So Steve, I think you had a pretty good score there, and how'd you make out? How many hours you work, all that good stuff? KE6FQC, this is KF6Q.
KF6Q, KE6FQC in Big Bear City. Well, I didn't know I was going to be the guest speaker. I was going to come in tonight and enjoy talking about the contest with everybody, but I'll go from there. As everybody knows, this past weekend was the ARRL 10-meter contest, held second weekend of December every year. And I have always said over the years that it's probably the only contest sponsored by any radio organization, whether it be ARRL or CQ Magazine or whoever. It's about the only contest that anybody can enter, including technicians nowadays, and has a good shot at placing very well. Over the years, we've done it a couple of times as a multi-operator station. This year, I wanted to do it as a single op just to see what I could do, just for the heck of it. Mind you, I am not a contester. I enjoy being in contests. What CQ, let me take a break here. Okay, but what a lot of contesters, and as a matter of fact, this month's QST Magazine, if I remember right, had an article on it. But I'm known as a Sunday driver to the contesters. I like to make contacts. I do collect prefixes. I don't enter all the contests. So, you know, I go after counties. I go after prefixes. Mainly that kind of stuff. And other than the, private contest, private organization contest, like the 1010 organization, the only one I do enter is the ARRL contest, the ARRL 10-meter contest, and that's every December. Aside from me, I think W6BBL had a group over there as a multi-op station, and it sounded like Mike and Cindy operated. I don't know if they were playing around or actually contestants, but they also sound like they did a multi-op, and knowing Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you might have been a QRP contest entry. Anyway, a lot of fun weekend. So any questions, I'll be standing by. KE6FQC.
Well, fantastic, Steve. Appreciate all that information. And the one good thing about being the guest speaker on the net here is that you don't have to get dressed up, as we don't have ATV operating in the valley here. So, real quick, Steve, for everybody out there, what kind of power were you running, and what do you have for an antenna? Because that seems like that's what everybody asks.
The station here is a Kenwood TS-570 Delta. It's just an HF radio, 160 to 10. does not have UHF, VHF capability. Running 100 watts barefoot. I ran 100 watts for the contest, which is a low power entry, single operator, and the antenna is a three element 10 meter beam up about 42 feet.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's 42 feet plus 6,800 up there in Big Bear. I don't know if that's an advantage. Anyway, well, thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate that. And I think we'll switch back over there to Mike. And I know there's others out there. Also, that this is all open to everybody out there. Feel free to jump in there. Mike, now I'm taking it you were operating from off the mountain, or were you up here?
We played around a couple of sessions over at Bill BBL. Friday evening, we played around for a little while from like 4 to 6 and actually worked China and a couple of other stations. I think Sydney and I were there. Bill was there. I think it was, my memory doesn't serve me very well. I've got other things on my mind right now. And Chris was there, and we heard China, worked China, worked a few other stations, and, you know, did okay. Then we came back Saturday morning and played around for a few hours and did pretty well, too. That's the extent of working up there. We had to come down. We had issues down here, so we had things we had to get taken care of on Sunday. But Sunday afternoon, actually early Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, I play around with QRP mostly, Elcraft K3 with a MA5 mini beam up about 40 feet. And works a pretty good DX with 5 watts. A little island called Nui, it's a de-expedition. We worked a lot of South America, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, France, Japan, Russia, that's the short list with 5 watts. And I think a couple of times we had to turn it up for some stateside stations to 100 watts to make the point. But I'm very careful that I record that separately. And even though I probably won't turn in my logs, I don't claim a QRP score unless it's 10 watts or less, and usually 5 watts. Let's see. Over at Bill BBL's, he had it all set up over there. He had Zulu time, local time by the clocks, the station call, so you knew what your call letter was, snacks set up for everybody, and was using a really neat logging program, M3FJP, all the bells and whistles, a $6 program, but served us very, very well. Made a couple of CW contacts both here and at Bill's up in his ham shack there, and that's about the brunt of it. I mean, any questions, I'm here. I know Steve's there, and that's pretty much it, unless we need to work on some of the finer details.
Well, Mike, and I was talking with Steve the other day, Monday, as a matter of fact, which would be yesterday, and actually this contest is kind of wide open, as he was saying it, and a lot of people in there. Wouldn't say it's like a newbie or beginner contest, but anybody can get in there. And the technician class especially have that little segment in there. And I guess there's really, like yourself, you're an extra class, but you would have the same call sign if you were a novice or a tech. So I guess there's really... Is there any way they ID that on your when you're making these contacts of all that stuff, or how does that work?
I have to assume that it's the same as field day. Like if you're running your own station, you have to stay within your frequency restrictions, frequency limits. But if you have an extra class and you're a tube operator station, then I would think that as long as the extra class has control of the station, you would be able to work anything within a 10-meter band. I think that's the way it works. I'm not really sure, but normally that's the way the contest works.
Well, fantastic. And have you worked this in the past, or is this? I know you've worked 10 meters on field day this last year, and of course a lot recently. Is this the first year you got real serious about the 10-meter contest, or have you been doing this over the past, who knows how many years?
anytime I'm free and have time and, you know, everything meshes, that we always play on the 10-meter contest. And, yeah, I'm not real serious. I mean, I don't turn in logs. I don't do anything. I'm just basically there because that's one of my favorite forms of operating, you know, the in, the out. I even made a couple of CW contacts, which are so simple on a contest like this. Your exchange is, what would it be? It would be TU, which is thank you, then 5N. Everybody's 5'9", so 5N. CA, and then the call letter, your call letter, so it would be TU5NCA WB6CLD. That's your exchange, and then you hit them with a beep beep, and they come back, and then TU, and their call letter, and your exchange, and that's it. So, I mean, it's very quick, it's down and dirty, it's easy. Anybody can send that in Morse code, so, and that's basically all you need to know for CW exchange on that. Sideband, basically, the exchange, and it's just contest, nobody really gives the right signal report. If it's a 5-2, you still get a 5-9, which is a really good signal. Exchange is 5-9 California WB6CLZ. Thanks. Good luck in the contest. Bam, that's it. They give you the same thing, and you go to the next guy.
Roger that. When I had first put up my 80-meter dipole, actually my G5RV clone, and this is not anything to do with 10 meters, so give me a little leeway here. But I did talk to a few people in Arizona and up in Montana and Utah area, and of course everybody comes back with a 5-9 automatic, which is nice. Makes you feel good, but then you start thinking like, hey, I'm wondering if they're telling the truth. Anyway, well, good deal, good deal. Let's see if we have, I think it's Rod still out there, I think, if he's still listening in, and see if he did anything on 10 meters over the weekend. Rod, are you still out there, and did you do any 10-meter work over the weekend?
Which rod? KA6ROD? I didn't. I've been working on the house. I forfeited all the ham radio operations until the house is finished. So, but I don't know. Who knows how long it's going to take.
Okay, well, that made me feel a little bit better as I was actually doing the same, trying to beat the snow coming in Monday. And I was playing roofer, and by golly, looking forward to the future of this next year here, you know, getting a lot more involved with that. But we definitely had to close up part of the roof. Well, good deal. Is there anybody else out there who participated in the 10-meter contest in any way, shape, or form? I'd like to add anything in there. Please come back to KF6Q.
Hey, V6PVZ.
Hey, Ray, good evening. Glad to have you out there at WB6PVZ. Fantastic. And I'm going to say, as a guest, were you possibly helping Bill over there with his group?
Yeah, I worked over there with Bill for quite a while, and especially on Sunday. And, you know, just to give somebody some information, we had a 10-meter beam up, and we used a pair of pliers to rotate it. We'd go outside and rotate it and work that direction for a while. So, you know, it wasn't sophisticated on the beam, but we did have a good time, made a lot of good contacts. And when you're using logging software, the operator, though, and the logger have to work together. That's for sure. Just remember that when you're doing it in field day or anything. Back to you, Tom.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, and yeah, I know High Gain makes some good rotators out there. But then a lot of us have used the Armstrong or Strong Arm, whichever. Well, good deal there, Ray. Glad to hear that, and glad you guys had a lot of fun over there and a lot of stuff. And I really did want to try to help out with that this weekend. I just had to beat the weather. Well, Steve, back to you, KE6FQC, if you're still out there. Quick question. Now, when you're operating as a single, so you're logging your own stuff, so I'm sure that's not as easy, but you're still working at your own pace, so not too complex. Real quick, Steve.
KE6FQC. Yeah, we're still here, Tom. Yeah, we had, you know, as much as we prepared, and just like field day, as much as you prepare, you know, Murphy is always going to show up when the actual thing gets down and dirty. And I had two little glitches at the very beginning. My UTC clock in the computer in the logging program quit working, So the only time every 30 or 4 QSOs, every 30 or 40 QSOs, I had to change the clock. The second day it worked fine. That went back to automatic logging. But that showed up, and I got slowed down on the first night, Friday night, which was Saturday UTC. But Friday night I got slowed down because I was having trouble with the Vox in the radio. And once I got the Vox finished, it was a piece of cake. The microphone was right in front of me with the Vox on, and the keyboard was right in front of me, and I was looking at the screen as I was making calls and typing call signs. So it worked real well once I got through the Murphy stuff. And like Mike said, lots of DX was out there. Call signs, yeah, lots of club call signs, but there's also special call signs. Guys go on vacation to certain places in the world just to operate radio. PJ2T is a big club station, but anybody can go down there and rent the guy's cabin, and you get the radio station with it. So if you want to play real contesting and de-expeditions, go to PJ2T. But you'll hear a lot of extra calls. You hear a lot of 2x3 calls, just like mine, and just like a few others in here. But so you don't have to have an extra class call sign or a club call sign. It just takes a little bit longer to say a 2x3 call sign than it does a 1x2 or something. But other than that, you can still have fun. And all the multipliers, you just get thousands and thousands of points. Who knows, this year with the conditions the way they were, if you are a contester, you'd know that 3 million points is probably going to win it this year. So we'll go from there. And no 7-air call sign, none. None, absolutely none. No Wyoming, no Idaho, Montana. I was getting really ticked off, and let me reset. And with 2 minutes left in the contest, I finally heard. I turned the power down, I turned the antenna around, and off the back of the beam with low power and just a crappy SWR, I finally got a short skip into Arizona and worked K6LL, Dave, our CW guy on field day. He was in the contest. I finally worked him on the last 2 minutes. KE6FQC.
Well, fantastic information there, Steve. Now, that's really great. And, somebody started a rumor that all sevens were actually, had to pay an extra fee to play in the contest there, but just a joke. That's a joke, everybody out there. Anyway, well, Steve, here's a quick question, and anybody else who has any, or to anybody who has the answer to this. Steve, let's say if you were working a group like Bill was, and I know what we do in field day, because we're at field day, we're using the club call. But let's say I'm a tech class, and we're in the, we're not in the tech class area operating as a group. Now, is that allowed, or is there some kind of designator for that, or how does that work? With the tech being, of course, in the presence of the control of, an extra class station operator.
Well, I would have to say, and this is an uneducated guess, I would say it's very similar, if not the same as field day. If you have an extra class as a control operator in the room, you can work the contest using his call sign, using his allowable frequencies, even though you're only a technician or a novice. There's a few novices still around. But I believe that's the case, same as field day.
And KF6Q Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater every Tuesday that we can, 1900 hours. Okay, well, that basically answers the question, because obviously it would cause all kinds of havoc if he was using his technician class call sign. So he would actually operate using the station's call sign. Okay, well, that makes sense. Well, good deal, good deal. Anybody else out there with any other things to add? I do appreciate all this. A lot of fun, good way to wrap up the year. I know we got a lot of good stuff coming up here at the beginning of January. It's a whole nother year again with contests and whatnot. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fun out there. Anybody, any other stuff to add for the 10-meter contest? Please come back to Tech Tuesday at KF6Q.
Hey, Tom, WB6PBZ.
Yes, Ray, WB6PBZ, go ahead.
You know, it would be, in my opinion at least, I would think I'm right, I'm not sure, but even a non-licensed operator with the supervision of a licensed operator would be able to work it, because some of the, it's like they do the school clubs for the school deal. So, you know, you could come out and operate at it like you do at field day. You can, a non-licensed one can work it with the supervision of a licensed operator right there with them.
You know, and that does make sense. I mean, I'm in 100% agreement with you there, Ray. And I think this is a great experience there. Like Steve and Mike and yourself and Bill, and I think Mickey was over there at Bill's. I was just hearing the traffic as they were pulling up to his house. It's really great if you can get somebody who isn't even involved with ham radio out there and just kind of get them wound up in the excitement a little bit. Gives a lot of incentive out there. I think it's a great thing. It's a great push for the hobby. Many different things with ham radio, as we all know, countless different parts of amateur radio, and this is just one of them. So I thought this was a great opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about contesting. Fantastic. And you know what? They're out there. Just try to generate that interest. So, anyway, anybody else with any comments or things about the 10-meter contest this weekend, please come back to Tech Tuesday, KF6Q.
KU6FQC, just real quick.
Yeah, Ray, I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. Because you're operating a club call or under Bill's call, the operator does not identify in the contest situation, so you never know who the operator is. And, yeah, just a bit of comedy relief. A guy in Chile gave my dog a 5-9 also. He was barking in the background. KE6FQC.
And that was a K959, right? Oh, good deal, Gator, good deal. All right, well, this is fantastic. Appreciate all this information. And before we do close that down, not that we're running a little bit early this evening, but definitely cold up here in the shack tonight. If you have a heater on where you're at there, good for you. I don't, but I'm still okay. That's okay. I'm not dead yet. I'm breathing. I'm not freezing. Anybody else out there, though, to add anything this evening with Tech Tuesday, please come back. Mike, we'll hand it over to you real quick for comments. WB6CLZ, KO6Q.
One thing that I did remember is sometimes it gets so fast-paced to where not only do you need a logger, but you need somebody writing down on paper what the logger needs to write down because it moves so fast. But when it really works well is when the operator and when the logger are in concert, you know, when the logger is keeping up with the operator. Boy, Cindy and I found that out at field day on 10 meters. We were the DX nation that everybody was calling, and we had a pileup to manage, which we did pretty well. But, boy, it sure would have been nice at that time to have somebody to write it down on paper and pencil and then enter it into the log, you know, not in real time, but when you had time. Anyway, that's about all I had to have. Great subject. Anybody that this has stimulated any interest, please speak up at the meetings and stuff, because it really can be a lot of fun. It's a fast-paced way to operate, and all around the world on 10 meters, it was just really great. Okay, back to you, Tom. This WB6CLZ.
Yeah, fantastic, Mike. I know at field day last year, I found, even though it was pretty cool using the logging programs and whatever, I found a little bit I was working there on 20 meters. It's kind of easy to jot it down on a piece of paper, as we're kind of used to, and then, like you say, type it in when you have a free moment, you know, something like that. So, and everybody out there listening, I'm going to say this, and you're going to laugh, because it's June, but field day is not that far away. Next thing you know, it's going to be June, because I remember it was just June, and here it is December. All right, anybody else out there, anything to add to the net about the contest? Not anything, actually. Please come back to KO6Q.
One more little comment, Tom.
Oh, go ahead, Ray. Go ahead. WB6PBZs, KO6Q.
You know, I think we're all in problems with it. But background modulation, when you're working the radio and you're working the keyboard trying to input stuff in on the log, those two people and the background modulation on them from other people talking in the room or behind them, even at field day out in the open, does cause problems. So try to be aware of it. That's all I have a comment on. Good day on that, Tom. The music PVZ.
Well, that's a very good point, Ray. As we remember, we had some issues with that at the field day. I'm going to tell you right now, I am a very firm believer in headphones. Really something that knocks out, not the type that you can still hear everybody else, but the kind that just you're only going to hear with that. And I think that's a good point. If the logger and the operator had those, that's my personal opinion. I think that kind of solves a lot of that issue. But we'll talk more about that as we get closer to field day coming up this June. Anybody else out there, anything to add before we close the net? Please come back to KF6Q. Alrighty, well, I think we once again either put everybody to sleep or we got them baffled. I do appreciate everybody being in there this evening. Steve, thank you very much for joining us this evening with all that great information. Ray, always glad to have you out there. Appreciate that from Rancho Cucamonga. And Rod, all the rest of you out there, listen in and participate. Mike, of course, you and Cindy are really becoming the team. Well, with all this practice, you're going to really get us some points here this next June. I know that. So, alrighty, I'll stick around after the net for a bit. Anyway, as I always do. But appreciate once again everybody listening up. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Pry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. And we're closing the net this Tuesday at 1900 hours and 38 minutes. So do appreciate everybody being out there. Please, if you can, join us again next week, 1900 hours, and we'll have another good, interesting topic and something we can run up the flagpole. Thanks again. Returning the repeater to normal use. This is KF6Q.